You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us. Amen, church. Our scripture for today comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Church, let's pray together. First off, go ahead and tell the Father that you love him. From your heart to the heart of the Father, just tell him that you love him. Let that move into a time of giving thanks. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what things may be happening in your life, there are reasons for us to be thankful because God is faithful to us. He has provided for us. He is good to us. So just let the Lord reveal things to you right now that you need to be thankful for and just lift those up to the Father and thank him. Let that move you to a time of confession and repentance. If there's sin in your life, if there are things that you're holding on to that are destructive to you, to your family, just to your walk with the Lord, period, would you just confess those sins to the Lord? Bring them to the throne of God, not so that he can harm you with those things, but so that he can free you from those things. Move to a time of confession and repentance. Move to a time of interceding for other people. If there are people in your life, people in your family, friends, neighbors, people you know who just need prayer, they're sick, there's cancer, there's just disease, there's hurt, if there is financial needs, if there are other things that you need to be praying for other people, lift them up to the Father. Stand in the gap for them. Pray for our lead pastor, Jeff Eaton. He is in Russell Springs. He's preaching on the lake. He does that every Labor Day weekend. Pray for him as he preaches today and that God would move mightily through him. Pray for the nations. We continue to lift up Nepal, the loss of life there. We pray for the rescuers. We pray for the first responders. We pray for the gospel message to still seep into hearts in the midst of tragedy. Pray for the continued war between U.S. and Iran as things have ramped up again. Gosh, just pray for peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Scripture gives us a mandate to pray for its peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for those around you right now in this room, those seated beside you, behind you, in front of you. You don't have to know them to pray for them. Lift them up. Pray they would encounter the living God in this place today. Pray over their family. Pray over their lives right now. And then finally, tell the Lord you love him one more time. He's a good father. He can never hear enough that you love him. Just tell him you love him again. Our Heavenly Father, you are our only hope, our only source of power. You are the only God. We are not praying to an idea. We are not praying to a philosophy. We are not praying to another religion. We're not praying to any other little g gods. We are praying to the one true God, creator of heaven and earth, who loves us and gave himself for us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you meet us here right now. Lord, with the songs that we've sung, I pray that you've been glorified. And we pray you continue to be exalted as we continue to move through the service. Lord, I pray for me, God, that as I preach, Lord, as I preach one sermon, that you preach 100 more. God, that you would just move in the lives of these people. And Lord, just remind me that I need these things as well. God, I recognize my weakness in this moment. It is the power of your word and your spirit alone that can change hearts and lives in this room. And I pray, Father, for you to do far above and beyond what we could ask or think right now. Lord, I need you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. You all can be seated. So good morning. Welcome. My name is Logan Smith, and I am one of the pastors here at Hope Church. Excited to preach for you all. Like I said, Jeff is in Russell Springs preaching on the lake, which he does every year at Labor Day. Before we dive into anything today, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you. Last week, if you weren't here, it was a licensing service for myself, for Logan Harvey, and for Dustin Webb, where we were licensed, commissioned by you all into the gospel ministry. And I just want to say thank you. It was a beautiful time for me personally, for my family, the prayers that you all prayed over us, the advice, the love and the community that we felt. And I know I'm not just speaking for me, I'm also speaking for Logan and Laura and for Dustin and Grayson. We felt your love, we felt your all's just commissioning over us, your blessing for us. So thank you guys so much for that. I was joking that, up until last week, I pretty much just been faking it. Now it's official. So I'm glad that I'm officially a pastor now. I did actually have a few people ask me last week and like throughout the week if our licensing meant that we were leaving. The answer is no. We are not leaving. Okay, we are here. We do believe the Lord has kept us here. So as far as I'm concerned, barring anything crazy from the Lord, this is my home. This is where I'm going to continue to serve. And I just want to say thank you for your prayers and your commissioning over us as we did that last week. For the past few weeks, Jeff has been announcing our new teaching series that's coming up called Experiencing God. We're going to go ahead and get these slides on the screen real quick. Miles, if you don't mind. Hey, we got the scripture on top of the slide. Can you... Yeah, there we go. So I'm gonna do a little bit of housekeeping now, two birds. We're starting this series of Experiencing God this week. We're starting on Wednesday night, 6 to 7:30, and here there will be childcare provided for you. It's going to go on while Comso and students are happening. And then obviously on Sunday mornings, Jeff's going to continue to preach on these things from Experiencing God. And it is birthed out of the book by Henry Blackaby. You go ahead and pull that up. The book Experiencing God, just knowing and doing the will of God. We've gone through this teaching a few times, I think. It's going to be our third time that we go through it. And we are encouraging you all to get that book, be reading through that, be studying that, because it is foundational. It is awesome. It's an incredible book. For me personally, this is one of the books that I'm going through my own personal devotion time. It's something that I'm leading people that I disciple through. It's something I'm leading our praise band through. And it has been instrumental for me personally. And it's just an absolute amazing foundational teaching, as the title suggests, of how to experience God, how to live in the fullness of the Lord each and every day. So today's going to be a segue sermon into this series, okay? So like I said, I've been going through this on my own. I've been leading our praise band through it. I've been teaching other people with this. And so between this book, my own personal time that I've had with the Lord, I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you all today really the biggest thing that he's been revealing to me personally, okay? Because I think understanding this before we get into the series is going to be key, all right? But here's what I want to share with you all today. When it comes to our personal relationship and walk with the Lord, our intimacy with God, our fellowship with God, our holiness, our obedience, our growth, our experiences of Him, our kingdom impact, so on and so forth, we need to understand that God wants far more abundantly than you and I could possibly even think or imagine for ourselves. Like the Lord wants more for you than you want for you. He wants to do more in your life. He wants to reveal more in your life. And the more that I've been studying and seeking the Lord, the more I'm beginning to realize that I have not personally desired nearly as much from the Father as He desires to give me. Like he wants to bless me, use me, unleash me in more ways than I can even imagine. And he does for you too. And if we get this point, if we understand this fact, then I really do believe that we will experience the Lord and be used by the Lord in ways that this world can't help but take notice. So let me just dive a little bit deeper into this. Let me explain what I mean and why it matters so much for us to understand that God wants more for you than you even want for yourself, okay? So let me just tell you something about me is I love amusement parks, like theme parks, okay? Love it. I love the big coasters. I love the thrill. I love the excitement. I love doing those things. Yeah, come on now. And I love those things. They're awesome. And I've been to several different parks. I got to say, honestly, though, my favorite theme park is probably Disney World. Okay? They don't have the big coasters I want, unfortunately. But if you're just talking overall experience and overall just like wow factor, Disney World for me takes the cake, all right? So if you've never been to Disney World, or even if you have been, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but Disney World is not just a theme park. It is literally like its own city within the city of Orlando, right? Like it's got multiple resorts. Is that each of those, almost all those resorts have their own pool, water park kind of thing. And depending on your price point, they're nice to, oh my gosh, this is gorgeous. You know what I mean? There are just tons of them. That has their own transportation system. It's got their own bus system. They're like sky lift into the parks. It's got boats you can travel through the property. It has got Disney Springs. Would you know Disney Springs? It's like its own little shopping town area with all of its own restaurants and stores. It's got one of the biggest Lego stores ever. It is baller. I love it. It is awesome. And so, and then on top of that, they have that four actual parks. You have Magic Kingdom, which is like the main one with Cinderella's castle in the middle. You've got Epcot, you've got Animal Kingdom, and you got Hollywood Studios. Okay, so you've got all these different things down there. And so at each of these parks, obviously, the more money you're willing to pay, the greater your experience is going to be, right? Like the nicer resort you're going to be able to stay at, the nicer the restaurants are that you're going to be able to eat at, the more experiences you get to do. Here's what actually separates Disney World from me is they have all these different experiences that you can do, but you got to pay for them. Okay, like, I mean, I'm talking about like you could go with some like at Animal Kingdom, you can go with like the safari zookeeper people and like go help feed animals and take care of them. You can go to Savi's workshop at Hollywood Studios and build yourself a lightsaber, which I have done, and it is the single, come on, you know, girl, let's go. It is the single nerdiest thing I've done in my life, and it was amazing, okay? It was so awesome getting to build my own lightsaber at that place, but I had to fork out money for it, right? And so I had to pay for it. You can get the park hopper passes to go between the parks each day. If you stay at a Disney resort on property, you get to get in early before the rest of the public does. And the more you're willing to fork out, the better your experience is going to be. Okay? So let's imagine that my family and I, we've been planning this trip to Disney, that we're going to go on this trip to Disney, and we've been planning it for years, and we've been saving up the money for it for years and years and years, to the point that nothing is off limits for us. Like, we can get the absolute nicest resort, we can buy any souvenir we want, do any experience we want, we can literally do whatever we want because all we have done is save for this vacation for years and years and years and years, and nothing is off limits, okay? So then we go down to Florida, and instead of staying at the nice resort that we have saved up for, we grab a Holiday Inn right outside the park. Not a knock on Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn's fine, all right? But ain't Disney Resort, okay? We get a Holiday Inn outside the park, all right? We don't use the transportation system. We just drive there every day, park in the back of the parking lot because it's crowded. We get into the park, and as we walk in, we see a bench right in the middle of it. We sit down, and we stay there the whole day. Like, We don't go to any of the restaurants we can afford. Instead, we pack peanut butter and jelly. We just eat that. I mean, we look around. It's beautiful. It's cool around us. We're watching other people ride the rides. We're watching other people do the experiences. Or, you know, if we get real frisky, we'll pick up our phones and watch people do the experiences on YouTube while we're sitting on the bench in the park. Maybe we decide to get up. Yeah, let's go to the gift shop. We go to the gift shop and we look around. Again, we have all the money we want to buy anything we want. We're walking through the gift shop and we're like, this is cool. And then we walk out, haven't bought nothing. And we do this every single day at each of the four parks, okay? So then we come back from our vacation and people are like, guys, how was Disney? How was it? Was it awesome? And you're like, it was fine. It just wasn't what I was expecting it to be. Y'all will look at me like I'm insane, and rightfully so, right? Because again, we've saved for years and years and years. We have literally everything we need to have the single greatest experience possible, and we just sit on a bench each day. We don't even stay on property. We don't eat at any of the restaurants. We don't do any of the experiences. We just go, we sit, and that's it. And then we turn around and say, it just wasn't what I expected it to be. Guys, listen, I love you. And because I love you, I've got to tell you that I am extremely convinced that that is exactly what we do in our walk with the Lord. That is exactly how we live out kingdom experience day in and day out. Instead of walking in the fullness of all that we could possibly be doing in the kingdom of God, instead of opening up our scripture, instead of getting to the Lord in prayer, instead of serving, instead of fasting, instead of being involved in the church, instead of sharing our faith with people, instead of talking about the Lord, instead of even thinking about the Lord, we just come in on a Sunday morning, we get our quota, and then we walk away saying, this kingdom life isn't what I thought it should be. Guys, we are doing this far too often with our walk with the Lord, and we feel like we are lacking in our lives. We feel like we are something missing in our walk with the God. We feel stressed and anxious, and we're not experiencing the Father as we want to experience Him, all the while everything has been given to you so that you could experience the fullest life in Christ. We're just not doing it. Guys, all through the Bible, we are given this picture of a good father who wants nothing short of the greatest possible life that you and I could ever hope to live. Look again at our scripture for today in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Listen, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I mean, guys, above and beyond all that we ask or think, even the things you think that could happen through you in the kingdom, he's like, I got more than that. Does that sound like a God that wants mediocrity in your life? Does that sound like he wants you sitting on a bench watching everybody else? No. This is the heart of a father who wants nothing more than for you to experience the greatest possible life, greater than you could even imagine. And he wants it for you. Look at John 10:10. This is like my life verse, okay? I go to this verse daily. It says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Some of your translations may say life to the fullest or life abundantly. Again, it means it's not lacking. It's full. He doesn't want you to have this half-lived life in the kingdom. So if you are doing your walk with the Lord, all you're doing is simply showing up on a Sunday morning and you think, wow, this life they're talking about really isn't all that exciting. Like, can I just answer that for you? You're right, because you're not living in it. If you're thinking, surely the Lord wants more for me than this, you're right. He wants so much more for you. He wants to unleash you in ways you have no idea. He wants to reveal himself in ways you have no idea. He wants that for you. If we have a power at work in us and a God who is able to do far more than we could even think or imagine, why would that mean that a Christian life is simply just doing church and sitting on the sidelines? It's so much more. So like, what does this mean then? What kind of more? What are you talking about? What is this fullest, this abundant life above and beyond? What does this actually mean? And guys, it means a lot of things. It means a lot of things. Look, we're going to fly through some scripture here real quick, okay? But I want you to just get a taste of some of the things this means. It means that when you read the Bible, when you get into scripture, God wants to reveal more of himself to you in those moments than you even want him to reveal. Look at Psalm 19, 7 through 8. The instruction of the Lord is perfect. It renews one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. I mean, guys, is that what you experience when you get to the scriptures? If not, then maybe we're not understanding what he wants for us in that moment. It means that when I come to my Father in prayer, guys, he wants to answer my prayers more than I want him to answer my prayers. Look at Matthew 7, 7 through 8 and 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Matthew 7, 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Because it means that my own personal holiness and my own obedience, he wants greater holiness and obedience for me than I even want for myself. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. I mean, does any of that sound like it's lacking? Guys, it means that every blessing that I desire from the Lord pales in comparison to the ways that God actually wants to bless me. Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord grants favor and honor. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. It means that the kingdom impact that I want to make on this world pales in comparison to the kingdom impact that God wants me to have in this world. Look at Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Like, hold on for a second. I didn't write this in here. Do you actually believe that you can have a global impact? Because you should, because that's what he just told us to do. That's what he wants from you. To be able to change the world. And look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Like, he wants you to have more of an impact on this world than you even want to have. And guys, it means so many more things. It means that he wants us to give more wisdom than we even want to have. He wants us to have more peace than we want to have. He wants us to have more joy than we want to have. He wants to experience so much more than we even understand that we want. And ultimately, it means that for all of us, it means that God wants to rescue you out of sin and death and darkness and bring you into his kingdom in the first place. We all know these scriptures, John 3, 16 and 17. God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christ did not come to condemn. He did not come to destroy. He came to rescue, to pull us out of the sin and death and darkness that we were condemned in. Guys, I need you to remember, God is not in heaven waiting for the day you die to decide if you're going to go to heaven or hell or not. If you are outside of Jesus, hell is not a future expectation. It is your present day reality. It says you're condemned already. But Christ came not to condemn you, but to pull you out of the condemnation you are already in. How can you hear that and not think that he wants more for you than you want for you? He wants to rescue. He wants to save. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love for us. Guys, because he wants more for you. He takes no delight in the death of the wicked. He desires that none should perish, but all reach repentance. He desires that absolutely none of us sit on the sidelines of this life, but live in the absolute fullest, greatest possible experience that we could even think or imagine. He wants it more for you than you even want for yourself. And if you want to truly experience the Lord in your life, you've got to understand that your own desire in the kingdom pales in comparison to his desire for you in the kingdom. So why do we just sit on the side then? One, it could be because we don't, you know, understand that God wants more for me than I want for myself. But I think one of the main reasons why we don't walk in the fullness of what God wants for us is because for a lot of us in this room, what you are actually hearing, when I say that God wants more for you, a lot of y'all in your minds are translating that as God wants more from you. Now, I've been really careful not to say that. You know why? Because it's not true. God wants more for you. He wants more for you. You know, I said every time you go to Disney, you get all those experiences and all those things that you have the possibility of doing. Like, Disney wants you to do those things more than you do, but they want you to do it because they want your money. Like, let's just be real here for a second, okay? They're a business. They want your money, all right? They want your money. Listen, that's not the heart of the Father, though. Like, God does following God have a cost? Yes, it does. It might mean you have to rearrange your life. It'll change the way that you spend your money. It might change who you're with. It might change your entire environment. It could change where you live. It could change where you work. It could change all of these things. But here's what you need to understand. None of that is God taking from you as if that is what God is due now that you've surrendered to him. That is not what is happening. So what is happening? What is happening? I'm going to both pick and brag on my wife here for a second. She's not here, but I did tell her I'm going to pick on her, okay? So she knows. I'm going to tell you about the first time we went to Disney. We're at Magic Kingdom. We're over in Tomorrowland. If you've been to Tomorrowland, you know what I'm talking about. We're over in Tomorrowland. And it's not even open to the public yet because we were at a resort, so we got to do, we'd already been there about an hour before the public. It's starting to come in. And in that hour, we've already ridden like a Buzz Lightyear shooting ride. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And then this these rocket ships that are flying high up. Like, we've already done that. And this is Ezra's first time at Disney. It's my first time at Disney. And so we've already done a lot, and we're sitting down. I think we're probably eating a Mickey pretzel for breakfast. And we're just kind of chilling, Ezra and I, just looking around, kind of just soaking it all up, looking at what we're at. And I look over at Kayla, my wife, and she's just crying. Like, she is sitting at the table, and she's just, like, weeping. And I'm like, what is wrong? Like, why are you crying? And, you know, we didn't have Melody with us. I'm thinking she got a text from her mom saying that Melody, like, fell and broke her leg or something. You know what I mean? And, like, we can't be there to help her. And she's just crying, and she looks down at Ezra, who's completely oblivious to the fact that she's crying, by the way. But she looks down at Ezra, and she looks at me, she says, I just want him to be able to experience everything. It's like, we're here for a day, and I just want him to get to do everything. And I know we can't do everything here today. She just loved him and wanted to have the best possible experience he could have. And me being the gentle, loving, understanding husband that I am, I looked at her and said, it's been an hour. It's fine. But in that moment, Kayla displayed the heart of the father, because she wanted Ezra to experience everything, because it would mean that Ezra now owed her something. No, it's because she loves him. And because she loves him, she just wanted him to see and do and experience the best possible experience he could have while we were there. Guys, God wants more for you in your life, not because he wants more from you, but simply because he loves you. That's it. And the fact of the matter is, the greatest possible life we have available to us is not available if we pay the right cost. It's because he has already paid the cost for you. It's because he took the cross. It's because he rose from the dead. It's because he has ascended at the right hand of the Father. It's because he has given you the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not paying a cost to have the best experience of this life. Will I need to change things? Yes. Will it cost me some things? Yes. But it is not to earn this experience. It is because God has already paid for the experience for me. And I can now live in the fullness of it. Why did he do it? Because he loves me. And because he loves you. That's it. We're going to move to a time of invitation. First and foremost, the invitation is for you in here today. You've never surrendered your life to the Lord. The invitation is, first and foremost, surrender. Let today be a day of salvation. I've already said this, guys. Hell is not your future expectation. It's your present day reality if you are apart from Christ. He came to pull you out of it. He came to rescue you out of it. Just so you could go to heaven later? Yeah. But so that you could experience the fullness of the kingdom of God right now. Let today be a day of salvation for you. Surrender your life to the Lord. Believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that saves us of sin, that transfers us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. And be saved. And for the rest of us in here, the invitation is that if you are sitting in here and you feel like you're living a half-lived kingdom life, let today be a day where that changes. Where you say, Lord, I don't want half a kingdom life. I want all of it. You've paid the price for me to be able to experience absolutely everything. Understand his love for you. Understand that the things that you want for your life pale in comparison to the things that God actually wants to give you. Just let today be a day where you surrender to all that God wants to unleash in your life. Will it have a price? Sure. But you get the kingdom. Anything God asks you to rearrange is so that he can give you more. He wants more for you. Let today be a day where you surrender to the more that God wants to give you. The band's going to lead us. We're going to have counselors up here who are going to pray over you. If you need to come and pray, if you want to surrender your life to the Lord, just come up and talk to one of the counselors. Our invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, let's stand and let's continue to worship our God in this place.